Well, a gem dealer strolling through the aisles of the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show noticed a blue-violet stone the size and shape of a potato. He looked it over and then, calmly as possible, asked the vendor, "You want 15 bucks for this?" The vendor, seeing it was a rather ugly rock, said, "I'll take 10. Well, the stone has since been certified as a 1900-carat natural star sapphire, appraised at $2.28 million. Stan Caffey decided to clean out his garage and so had a garage sale. Items included an assortment of clothes, bikes, tools, computer parts. There was also a tattered copy of the Declaration of Independence that had been collecting dust hanging on the wall of his garage for 10 years. A man named Michael Sparks saw the Declaration of Independence, bought it for $3, had it examined, and it was found to be a rare 1823 copy worth almost $500,000. Treasures are everywhere, are they not? I mean, garage sales, antique stores, maybe your attic or basement. But a lot of these treasures are small, they're hidden, they're undervalued perhaps. And this is true of the greatest treasure possible that you and I could have, the treasure that it is right under our noses, people. It is the treasure of the kingdom of God. Jesus tells us about this. Listen from Matthew 13, beginning verse 31. Matthew 13, 31. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened." In verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Many people walk right on by the kingdom of heaven because it appears small and insignificant. And in these first two parables, Jesus tells us that indeed the kingdom is small. However, it is powerful, so don't underestimate it. The kingdom of heaven may appear small, like a mustard seed or like just a handful of leaven. Mustard seed is a tiny seed, both in size and weight. If you put a mustard seed next to a penny, it's about the size of Lincoln's nose, okay? Its weight, it would take 750 mustard seeds to equal 1 gram in weight. But from one seed comes this giant plant that can grow 9 to even 12 feet tall, large enough for birds to nest in. And if you throw a party, and you want to bake bread for everybody, you know, what's a handful of powder, you know, yeast, you know, for a large group of people, right? And yet a handful of leaven in 3 measures will grow, and it will produce a massive amount of bread, enough to feed over 100 people. I mean, Jesus tells us plainly here, yes, the kingdom of heaven, it may seem small, unsensational, insignificant, and therefore it's easy to miss, but it is powerful. And in time, it will grow large enough to provide shelter and nourishment for many. Do not underestimate it. In the second set of parables, Jesus, you know, the hidden treasure hidden in the field and the pearl, Jesus underscores in these parables how the kingdom is hidden, but valuable. In fact, it's so valuable, it's worth selling everything to get it. In the days before secure banking, People hid their money and their jewels in caves and in holes in the ground. And people, you know, still have a version of this in our day. You know, they stick money in a mattress, or maybe they hide, you know, treasures, you know, in a hole and under a rock in the backyard. Well, in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven itself is like a buried treasure or a pearl that's hidden in a dustbin of some gem market. And will we walk on by it? We write it off as undesirable, you know, it's just like cheap costume jewelry, not worth really searching for. Or will we discern it for what it is, valuable beyond measure? Now, time out here, because there may be a bit of a disconnect with us. You know, Jesus, throughout the Gospel of Matthew, talks a lot about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. But you and I don't think in terms of kings and kingdoms, do we, in our daily living? Or maybe we do, at least in principle. You see, every one of us actually is a kingdom person. We might not use the term king and kingdoms, but each of us lives under some authority that governs our lives, some realm that we salute and give ourselves to. And of all the kingdoms that are there, it comes down, basically, we're living out of one of two kingdoms. Either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of self. And the kingdom of self was established in the Garden of Eden when the serpent convinced Adam and Eve to believe the lie that God was not good. God was holding out. God had not given you all you needed. And so, you know, for life in this world, and so what you needed to do, what the serpent convinced them, was to break out from under the kingdom rule of God and establish their own kingdom. And moving in the authority of the kingdom of self, they took charge, determining for themselves what is good and right and how to get it, and they ate the forbidden fruit. Well, the kingdom of self is nothing new in our day, but in our culture, right now, the kingdom of self, it is on steroids. I mean, think of the major social issues of our time: abortion, gender, identity, transgenderism, sex outside of marriage, and so forth. At the heart of all those things is the kingdom of self. And the kingdom of self is just plastered everywhere in our culture, saying that in order to be authentic, you have to look inward. You have to get in touch with your feelings, with your intuition, because you alone determine who you are and what is right and wrong for you, for yourself. But you see, it's become more radicalized in our day, because now more and more, if there's an appeal to outside of ourselves, to a social tradition, a standard, and certainly a biblical standard, an appeal to that is viewed as oppressive. And to force somebody to submit to any external authority outside of themselves, and especially to an authority of God himself, that verges on tyranny and plunges one as this oppressed victim into an inauthentic existence. Because there's the absolute right in our day that the individual will define his or her character and morality. Now, that's just the kingdom of self on steroids. And if we're sitting here thinking, yeah, all those terrible people out there, you know, them and all those issues, folks, it is as much in here and in us as it is out there. We may be citizens of the kingdom of heaven, but we still so quickly revert to living out of the kingdom of self, self-reliance, self-interest, self-sufficiency, self-authority. From the kingdom of self, I mean, just Look at how people treat each other. Christians treat each other. We view others as obstacles who are in my way to getting what I want, or they're vehicles that I'm going to use to get what I want. That's just the kingdom of self. And so Jesus introduces the kingdom of heaven. It's small, it's hidden, but it is powerful. And it is worth selling everything to get it, to have it, to be in it. Well, what is this kingdom of heaven that Jesus is introducing? Well, one thing the kingdom of heaven is freedom. It is freedom from the devastations of the kingdom of self, which are sin, death, and hell. The kingdom of heaven with our King Jesus brings us into a new relationship with God. Indeed, we become a new creation before God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And the new you is no longer defined by sin, failure, and weakness. Christ was made sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that is how God views us. That is how he forgives, loves, accepts, and welcomes us as those who are righteous in Jesus Christ. Now, you may look at yourself and mock that. Some new creation I am, you know, all you can see are the flaws and how far you have to go. But don't despise the day of small things. Again, the parable. The kingdom life starts small, but it grows. It is powerful. Don't underestimate it. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. But by God, God's Spirit, he's revealed these things to us. He's begun to reveal these things. That we have a glorious future and we will be something glorious to behold. I mean, what we will become in Jesus, if you could see yourself now, what you will become, as C.S. Lewis said, you would be tempted to fall down and worship it. It is so glorious. Dressed in the full righteousness of Jesus Christ. Lewis says in another place, imagine yourself as a house. And God, with his kingdom, comes to rebuild that house. Now, at first, you can understand what he's doing. You know, God's getting the drains right. He's fixing the leaks in the roof. And you know those jobs need to be doing, right? You know, I've got a lot of work, and God's doing it on my life. Great. You're not surprised by that. But then God starts knocking down walls. Starts tearing up floors. It hurts. It doesn't seem to make any sense. You lose your job. You have some illness, some setback. You lose a loved one. You know, life starts to crumble around you. What are you doing, oh Lord? I thought you loved me. It doesn't make any sense. And Lewis says the explanation is that God is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here. Putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage. But he is building a palace that he intends to come and live in himself. The fullness of the kingdom is new life with Jesus, a new self, a new creation in which God himself dwells. But the kingdom is also a new authority. And here's the big rub with the kingdom of self. You see, to be part of God's kingdom means we have to surrender to his authority, and we can't do it just partly. If God's not Lord of every area of our lives, then he's not really Lord at all. You know, he's got to be Lord over our money, our career, our marriage, our family, our thought life, our sex life, our entertainment life. Along this line, Tim Keller talks about how there cannot be any degrees in our submission to God's authority, you know, so that we only trust God, you know, mostly, or certain areas, but not all areas. And he says where this really shows up is our view of God's word. Somebody might say, you know, I believe God's word, 98% of it. But there's just that couple of verses, or even that just that one verse. You know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians? I can't go there. I don't believe that. But I believe everything else. But you see, if that's you, then please understand you are living out of the kingdom of self, with yourself as the ultimate authority over God's word. And that's not to say we don't wrestle with God's word, struggle to understand it, and certainly obey it. But if my feelings, my intuition, my reasoning trumps God's word in the least, so that I don't submit, then I am Lord and he is not. The kingdom of self triumphs again. In the words of the parable, is there something that you and I are not willing to sell in order to have the kingdom? Something that we're holding on to that is more valuable than Jesus? You see, to be part of God's kingdom, there must be a transfer of authority to Christ from self. A selling of it all. All that I hold dear and cherish, I lay it aside for Jesus. And of course, this will make us look absolutely foolish in the eyes of the world. Because this culture is discipling us relentlessly that to live under anybody's rule other than our own is oppressive, it's a bondage, it's not freedom. And so, you know, we should even reject God's word as the final authority over our lives. And just what? Just read and trust the inscription on our own hearts. That is the spirit of the age. That is the declaration of independence of the kingdom of self. But the kingdom of heaven does not remain silent on that. It issues a powerful warning, a wake-up call to those who will not come under the authority, the full authority of the kingdom of God. And we see it in the final parable Jesus tells in Matthew 13. It's the parable of the fishing net. Listen to Jesus here, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? What Jesus is telling us is that the kingdom is coming. It is inescapable. So do not ignore it. And actually, reality, it's going to be impossible to ignore it. The parable is about the end of the age, human history, that day when all our coming and going, all our daily activity will cease. When the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, comes in fullness like a fishing net and pulls up fish of every kind. You know, fish, they think they're free, don't they? Swimming around. And when they're caught in the net, they don't know what caught them, literally. They don't know what happened, what hit them. They don't see it coming. The net just suddenly pulls them up, and it's over. And someday the kingdom of heaven will come, and everyone will be pulled up out of the water. It's inescapable. All the great people of the world who have ever lived and are living at that time, young, old, black, white, male, female, rich, poor, in all nations that have ever been, they'll all be brought up out of the water. And we will be shown for what we really are. Jesus says the angels of God will separate the good from the bad, the righteous from the evil. The evil will be thrown into a fiery furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is hell. And when that day comes, what good will be the kingdom of self to anyone? Will the kingdom of self provide power, protection, or justification? Suddenly, all we depended on as we looked within, all that we treasured more than Jesus, will be wiped out. And the kingdom of Jesus Christ will stand alone. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of her Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever. Revelation 11:15. And those who rejected Jesus as worthless and insignificant will themselves be cast out as worthless and insignificant. This is a hard word, a warning word of Jesus. But the righteous, what about the righteous? Well, there's a similar parable that Jesus told a little earlier. It's the parable of the weeds, of the tares and seed. But verse 43, the righteous, they'll shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Well, Jesus asks us a question Have you understood all these things? Verse 51. And I guess for us, it comes down to this. What kingdom are we really living out of? In all honesty, it's so difficult to live out of the kingdom of God. It's just easier to walk on by it because to our eye, it's small, it's insufficient for dealing with real life, you know, the real problems of the world. I love what Gaby said in that video. The gospel, it's the answer to everything. Do we believe that? Jesus is telling us to believe it. To trust what he is bringing of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. Don't underestimate its power. Don't underestimate its value. Sell all in order to get it. You know, if I offered you a hammer, this you know, common old work hammer, for $500, would you buy it? Well, no, you'd be foolish. $500, I could buy a several hundred hammers for that. You know, too expensive, not worth it. But if I offered you a brand new Porsche for $500, though you didn't have a penny to your name, you would say, wait a minute, I'll be back in an hour. You would run home, you would grab up your record collection, your knife collection, your old baseball cards, your fishing rod, all your jewelry in the box, a few pieces of furniture, and anything else of value that you had lying around your house. You'd beat it down to the local pawn shop just in hopes that it added up to $500, and then you'd come and buy that Porsche. And you'd say, it's completely worth it. All this other stuff was junk in comparison with a brand new Porsche for $500. You got to be kidding me. What a deal. And so it is with the kingdom of heaven. In the parable of the hidden treasure, you know, the man, notice when he's rejoicing, not after he's bought the field. He probably is then as well, but he's rejoicing before he even bought the field. He's rejoicing while what? While selling everything he has. Because he knows that in comparison with what he's getting, this is nothing. I'm making out big time. So selling is no sacrifice on his part. Well, what are you holding on to as more valuable than the kingdom of heaven? More important than Jesus? I mean, do we not see how crazy it is to hold on to anything as if it's greater than what's coming in Jesus? I mean, if we're afraid to publicly identify with Jesus, then our image is more important than Christ. How crazy! Jesus offers so much more. When we say to God, I'll obey you if, you know, whatever's on the other side of that if is something we will not sell. That's insane. Because it does not compare with what is coming our way in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Sell all, whether it's reputation, rights, self-pity, some pet sin, sexual freedom, image, because nothing compares with Jesus and what he gives us in the kingdom. Even Paul says of suffering, Romans 8:18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So again, what kingdom are we living out of? As Jim Elliot said years ago, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. In the kingdom of heaven, we gain Jesus and all that is his. And all that is his everything in this world. Everything. The treasure of the king and his kingdom. Seek it. It's worth it. He is worth it. Amen.